Bless you, bless you, God.
Pray for me.
Yes, sir.
Elder Chris Taylor.
If you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I was just going to take a few minutes this morning and leave the majority of the time to Brother Buddy, but since we have to fill up a whole CD, I might take a little more time. Just kidding. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll start reading with verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Verse 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased. There's many propositions these verses stand for. Number one is that all the elect of God, if you're chosen by God in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world, those same people will Jesus Christ die for on the cross. And if he died for them on the cross, he will take them home to heaven with them. Now, while they live on this earth, will they live a perfect life? The answer is no. In fact, he says here that all these children of Israel, these elect children of God, all pass through the cloud and through the sea. They are baptized unto Moses, unto the cloud and to the sea. They were children of God, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. We could preach on that, but I don't tend to preach on that this morning. Maybe not much. But on the other hand, he is giving a powerful picture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me make a statement this morning. Is that I am not a fair-weather Christian. I'm not a prosperity preacher. I'm not going to preach this morning that if you just obey God, everything's going to be light and fluffy and wonderful, and you're going to live on the mountaintop the rest of your life. I'm not going to preach that because I know that's not true, and then that is not borne out in the Scriptures. If you live in this life, we will have trouble. But on the other hand, as children of God and members of the church, what we need to understand is that there are some enemies in this world, the spirit, that will bother us no more. They're enemies that cannot touch us because of what Christ did on the cross. Now it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, we were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. This is obviously making reference of the children of Israel when they are escaping Egyptian captivity and slavery for 400 years, led out by their deliverer Moses to the Red Sea. The Red Sea is parted. The children of Israel go across dry shod. Pharaoh's army, 600 chosen chariots, intend to follow them, but do not go the Red Sea successfully. The waters close up upon them, and the horse and the rider are drowned in the sea. The crossing of the Red Sea is a powerful image to us of Jesus Christ and what he did for us. Crossing the Red Sea gives us the image of a cross. The Red Sea gives us the image of his blood. The Red Sea is there to signify to us that God saved his children by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to make a comment and then leave it, but just leave it there as an illustration. Many people ask me, as a prosecutor and as a preacher, why do I support the death penalty? Well, there's many reasons, but the biggest reason is this. The biggest reason I have is the peace that it gives the survivors, the peace that it gives the families and loved ones of the victims. When the death penalty is finally brought about, that monster, that person that has oppressed their emotions and their minds and their dreams for so long is finally gone. It's gone from their lives. No more to bother them or to threaten or bother anyone else. Now, look at this. The Israelites went down to the Red Sea. They went down to the Red Sea as slaves. But the slaves died out at the Red Sea, and they rose up as sons on the other side to receive their inheritance. I don't hear you out there. Isn't that exciting? See, they came to the Red Sea as slaves, but they came out on the other side as sons to receive their inheritance. Their oppressor, their slave master, their taskmaster who followed them down to the Red Sea, followed them into the water, but did not come out of the water. The oppressor was down in the watery grave to remind them that they were free from their oppressor. They were free from their slave master and ready to walk in newness of life. Isn't that exciting? Y'all don't sound too excited. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ destroyed our enemy. He can no longer touch us. He has no power over us. He is dead. Jesus Christ said, "He will bruise my heel, but I will bruise his head." Jesus Christ upon the cross gave him the death blow. And he is good as dead. He is no longer going to bother us anymore. We're going to have troubles in this life, brothers and sisters. But on the cross, the death blow was given. So you and I can stand at the water's edge. And we can say, bye-bye. See you later. Hasta la vista, baby. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. Because the oppressor is dead. You see, we couldn't go to him, so he had to come to us, correct? John the Baptist preached this. When he saw Jesus Christ walking, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." My Bible tells me that Jesus Christ came to John and asked him and compelled him to baptize him. John the Baptist said, "I am not worthy." But Jesus Christ says, "Suffer it to be so, for it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." You're going to do this, John the Baptist, so that my people know. And they can see that it is through death, burial, and resurrection that I am going to deliver you. It is only through death, burial, and resurrection that you are going to be free. You know, people say, "I found Jesus." You didn't find Jesus. Jesus never been lost. Luke chapter 10, verse 19 says, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." If you read verse 4 of our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, "That rock that followed them," that spiritual rock that followed them, "was Jesus Christ." See, Jesus Christ followed them. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. You to find Jesus, he found you. We couldn't go to Jesus. He had to come to us. I couldn't go to him. I couldn't go up to him. So he had to come down to me, right? I could not become godly. So he had to become humanity so that through his humanity, I could become godly. He became what I am so that I can become what he is. Amen. The death, burial, and resurrection. Excuse me. The scripture says that some sweet morning, in the twinkling of an eye, he will change me, and I will look upon him, and I will be just like him. Amen. Amen. He became like me so I could become like him. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Why is John the Baptist pointing to Jesus Christ and saying that? It harks back to Exodus chapter 12, doesn't it? Exodus chapter 12. The last plague is coming upon Egypt, and the plague is death. And death is going to overshadow the land and take away the firstborn out of every house. But the Israelites took blood and put it on the two side doorposts and the top doorposts. And that was supposed to save them, correct? From that plague. But how come it says in Exodus chapter 12, verse 30, that death went to every house? There was death in every house in Egypt. Why is that so? Why is that so? Now, which is true? If death went to every house, how come there's live people in the houses of Israel? Well, when the destroyer came, brothers and sisters, he did go to every house. And he entered into every house except the houses that had the blood on the doorposts and the lintel. Because when death saw the blood, he knew that a death had already occurred. And there was no need for death to go inside, because there was the death of one. It was the precious lamb. A lamb was slain. Not just any lamb. A lamb in its prime. A lamb a year old. A lamb without spot or without blemish. That was the lamb whose blood was used to put on the doorposts and the lintel. So there was no need for death to go inside, because death had already occurred. Death passed over because death had already occurred in the house. It was the blood of the lamb. Colossians chapter 1 verse 18, it says Christ is the firstborn of God. So death passed over because of the blood, the shed blood. We need that blood, brothers and sisters. In Exodus 12, it was the shed blood. In Ephesians chapter 1, it's the shed blood. In Exodus chapter 12, it's the blood. In Ephesians chapter 1, it's the atoning blood. The blood makes us at one. The blood cleanses us from our sins. The blood separates us from our sins as far as the east is from the west. God took our sins and cast them into the depths of the sea and put up a sign that said, no fishing. Brothers and sisters, it's amazing. You know, you may not like me, and that's okay. People may not like you, but that's okay. But God loves me. You may look at my faults, and you may look at my sins, but God looks at me through the blood and sees me sanctified. You focus on my past. God focuses on my future. He doesn't see me where I am. He sees me where I'm going to be. He sees me as he is going to make me. See, sometimes he calls me by names that I haven't attained yet. He calls me a saint, and sometimes I ain't. But he's not looking at me like I am. He's looking at me like he's going to make me. And it's not because of what I did. It's all through the blood of Jesus Christ. The shed blood, because it had to cleanse us from our sins. It's the sprinkled blood, because it had to be applied. It's the satisfying blood, because it's all sufficient. That's all that is needed. And it's the sheltering blood, because it keeps me safe. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, Christ is our Passover. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, for as much as you know, that we were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Christ is our Passover. It is only through him. Excuse me. What if we took the blood out of the Bible? It'd be thin as one of my comic books at home. I mean, one of my son's comic books at home. They want to take the blood out of the Bible. They want to take the blood out of the hymn book. But thank God we still got the blood in the hymn book. We sang one this morning. What can wash away my sin? The hymn writer wrote that and asked a question. But he didn't want him to take any chances, so he also answered the question. Because if he had just left the question there, he was afraid of how people might answer the question. What can wash away my sin? Church membership. What can wash away my sin? Water baptism. What can wash away my sin if my good works outweigh my bad works? What can wash away my sin, my tithes, my service, my gifts? No, brethren. Thank God he answers the question. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that can make somebody to like Jonas white as snow. Oh, precious is the flow that made me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Last point, and I'll sit down. Pharaoh sent 600 chosen chariots down to get the escaped slaves. Now, do you think he was going to round them up and just bring them back to Egypt? He expended all that military might to get back the slaves? Maybe. But they also had something else. They had the gold and the treasure that they took with them. They took that with them, and he wanted it back. Pharaoh thought that the children of Israel owed him something. Now, brothers and sisters, the world thinks you owe them something, but you don't owe them anything. Pharaoh went down with his chariots, and he went into the water, and he never came out. He never came out. So therefore, the debt that the Israelites owed died with the oppressor. So once the oppressor was dead, they didn't owe him a thing. All debts were canceled. In Romans chapter 13, verse 8, it says, owe no man anything but to love one another. You don't owe your bad friends your time. You don't owe anybody anything that's intimate to you. World teaches you, we're trying to tell you, you owe them something. We don't owe them anything. We don't owe anybody anything but to love one another. Jesus Christ paid the debt. All to him I owe. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I'm going to quit right here.